The title of today's message is part of the series of the theme of authentic Christianity, and we are looking at the series of God's covenant people. And today the title is Strengthened in the Inner Being. Strengthened in the Inner Being. And I'm going to be using the main text from the book of Ephesians. It's going to be from chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. As a sort of introduction to what I believe God has led me to do today, I prayed about this, and I feel God, and it's along with the ministration we've already had today, that this preaching is not really a preaching. I'm not going to be preaching really today, but I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be asking you to join me in prayers, okay? Because we want God to do the impossible today. And that is not the power of what I can put together as a teaching for you. So I've been praying along and asking the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh today, to fill this room and everybody that is listening to this message. And I'm going to be praying a lot, even as I share with you today. This is the only message I will say. If you want to close your eyes, please feel free to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Because my first prayer for you today is that you will not fall asleep. You know, there are many people that come to church to sleep. And that's the fact of life. People come, they are physically tired, they are emotionally tired, and it's quiet and it's cool and it's nice. After the worship is finished, they sleep for 1 hour. Okay, you can see them sometimes. But what is even worse, some people are spiritually asleep. Okay, you know what that means is that although you are listening in church, your mind is elsewhere. You can't wait for 12 o'clock to reach. You know, we don't take long. 12 will finish. And you can't wait to carry on with your usual life. That is worse. That is spiritually asleep. So I pray for you this morning. Whichever category you fall into, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that today will be, last week will be the last time that you will be spiritually asleep or that you'll be physically asleep in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for the Holy Spirit within you to be quickened, to be alive, to be sharp, to recognize when you are falling away and to nudge you to be awake each time that is about to happen, in the mighty name of Jesus. That is the passage of Ephesians. It's about prayer, and that's why the theme of this message is about prayer as well. But the topic is strengthened in the inner being, and I want us to look at that a little bit. And as we look at it, we'll be praying along, and I'm praying that God will strengthen us, which is the theme of the prayer, will give us deliverance, will give us breakthrough today. And God will equip us to go ahead after today, to be able to deliver ourselves again anytime we fall into that trap. But more importantly, to be able to help others. Whatever we have learned today, that we will use it to help others, that God will bring alongside us. I pray that will be what we will achieve as a blessing today, in the mighty name of Jesus. What is our inner being? You see, it's the core of our being. It's our internal mind. It's our inner self. It's not the fancy clothes. It's not, you can dress up nicely. You can make up. People don't see what's going on within you. You look beautiful outside. But inside is what the inner being is all about. People pretend, people lie, people project whatever image they want to do. We're all guilty of it to some extent. But what we want to deal with today is what goes on in our inner mind. When we are in the secret place, when we are alone in our bedroom, when we struggle and nobody can see that struggle apart from God, that is where we're going today. So it's going to be really deep. I pray that God will give us, all of us, including myself, the wisdom to be able to go along with this and be able to benefit from it, in the mighty name of Jesus. things happen, you know, that we can deal with. And I just want to separate what we are not dealing with. What we are not dealing with today is things that happen on a day-to-day basis. You know, you had a car accident, for example. You know how to deal with it. You know how to call the insurance. You know how to go to the hospital. You know how to check it out. Okay, things happen. Your partner leaves. Your loved one dies. You know how to deal with it. You do call the funeral parlors, make the arrangement, do whatever. Your flesh, your automatic response system kicks in to deal with things that happen to us day by day. It depends on who you are. If you are a child of God, I'm hoping that it is the Spirit of God within you that leads you to respond on a day-to-day basis. But if you are not, and as Pastor was praying this morning, if you are the one that only come to church on Sunday, and then after Sunday you revert to your normal self, then your individual responses will be your flesh. Okay, things happen, you attack it, you deal with it, you move on. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about things that happen consistently in your life that you are struggling, that you've tried all your power that you cannot deal with. And you know it's only God who can do it. That's where we're going this morning. And I want you to bear with me. So it's not the singular things that happen. It's the recurrence of it. Okay, so if you lost somebody, it's not the loss actually that will get you. It's what your mind will go through after that. You know, year after year that you are struggling with the missing the person, the company, what they provide you. And sometimes that takes your eyes away from God. That is what we're talking about. But I'm not talking about things that happen only. I want us to focus a little bit on sin as well. So the two themes I'm looking at is for us to be strengthened, to be strong and unwavering in our faith in God, even through persistent, difficult situations. One time difficulty is gone, you move on. But sometimes the impact of what has happened is consistently tearing you apart inside. And that's what we need deliverance from. I pray that will be done today in Jesus' name. Second aspect I want us to look at is recurrent sins. And this is really deep. And when we go to the end of this message today, you see there are different approaches to the two factors that we are struggling with. When things happen, sometimes we just have to live with it. And that's what we'll be getting how to do that today. But sin, we must never learn to live with it. And we want to pray today, and I'll be praying for you, that God will strengthen you to overcome recurrent sins in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. These are sins that you know you fail time and time again. And you fail time and time again. And you've made some plans, you've made some arrangement, you've used some tactics, some training, and it's still not working. Only God can deliver you. Okay, so we'll be learning how to do that. I'll be praying how to do that today. But there are even simple things that we struggle with. We might not consider a sin. And I said it before and I got into trouble. But I'm going to say it again. If you consistently come late to church, it is a sin. Okay, it's not about doing it just practically, like we are in bondage to time or something like that. Is idolatry, and I'll be praying with you and for you today that God will help you to overcome whatever it is, no matter what it is, that takes your time, more than the time you are supposed to be serving, because that is something we need to break as well. So, I'll be asking you to think about, in fact, I'm asking you right now, to start making some notes about the issues that you struggle with. You know, time and time again. Also, I want you to think about what God has delivered you from the past. Okay, because sometimes we need a heart of gratitude to recognize that God is still God. Because the same God that did the things for you in the past is the same God that we are calling on today. So think about things that God has helped you with. You are not like this, hopefully. Last year, you have moved on. There are things you struggle with that God has enabled you to overcome. Let's give thanks to God for that. And I thank God for you. I thank God that you are able even to come here today. There are many people worse off out there who couldn't even come into the house of God today. Thank you. Can you take this?
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, this is better. Praise God. So, give thanks to what God has done in your life. Those good things that you know, that's many, I tell you, that you have no clue God has done it for you. But whatever God has done for you, let's give thanks. But I want you to also now focus on things that you are struggling with. Because that's what we need to deal with today. I can tell you what I struggle with, at least one of them. And for me today, the most important struggle I face is fear that people I love, not for myself, thank God, but fear for people that I dearly love, that they may miss out on the free gift of salvation. That thing haunts me every day. And sometimes I struggle, I don't know what to do again. And I need strength for God to give me hope that He's going to save those people that I love. Okay, so I need strength. Everybody needs strength. There's nobody here that can say there's nothing I'm struggling with. In fact, if anybody says that, they are dead, spiritually or physically, because you will have something that you are working on right now. So I want you to focus on that as you listen to me today. But also, I want to take everybody along with us, because strengthening in the inner being means having something within you to be strengthened. It is the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you today, you might not be carried along with this message. And I'll just spend a few minutes to talk to you. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it is very easy. In fact, you could do it in the next 2 minutes as I'm speaking. And all it takes is to recognize that Jesus, God, Son of God, came, suffered, and died for you so that your sins will be forgiven. And once you're forgiven of your sins, you come into the kingdom of God. You are covered in the kingdom of God. And God, who is able to do all things, will then help you to deal with whatever you are facing right now. This is the gospel. If you do not know Christ, this is an opportunity for you to commit your life to Jesus Christ, because He died for you as well as each and every one of us in this world. And all you need to do is to own up, to say, God, I'm sorry. I did not know. Nobody told me, or I never felt you. I've asked the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart right now as you listen, that you will feel that nudge, you will know that it is God, that when you finish, when you die, and when Jesus comes, whichever comes first, you need to be sure of where you're going. And if you are not sure right now, if you still feel that in your heart that you're not sure, will you make that prayer and repent of your sin and say, Lord, I'm really sorry that I've been doing my own things. And from now on, I want to follow you, I want to obey you, I want to do your will. Very simple prayer. And once you've done that and you've repented from your sin, you have the gift of salvation. I've been praying for 5 years more for some people to have that gift. And I'm still praying. But you can have it today. It's just like that, in an instant, to have the gift of salvation. And then to trust God, to have faith in Jesus, that the same God who came, who let himself be killed and died for you, who rose again after 3 days, promise that he will do the same for you. No matter what happens, he will raise you back to life. And you will be with him in eternity, forever. Joyful, peace, no sorrow, no sadness. Will you Think about that today if you haven't met Jesus. Think about it and commit your life to Jesus Christ. Thank God for King's Church. I know most of you listening to me, you've already passed that stage. Praise God. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? If you don't, you cannot go along with this message because there's nothing to strengthen within you. You can only be strengthened in the inner being if there's something there. Empty vessels, no way. It is easy. It is guaranteed. Jesus said that once you give your life to me, once you accept that I'm your Lord and Savior, I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will live within you. And through that Holy Spirit, you connect with God. It's like you are in heaven all the time with Jesus Christ. I hope you know that you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you don't, please pray the prayer this morning. And I pray for you. If you are still not sure, if you have not sure that you have the Holy Spirit within you, I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit, if you ask for it right now, so that's why I say you can close your eyes, you can ask for the Holy Spirit to come within you, to fill you, to baptize you with power from God. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the Holy Spirit to come within you and live within you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I thank God for King's Church. Many of us already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We saw some of it displayed this morning. Praise God. People that can hear God, that can obey God, you can only do that with the Holy Spirit. I thank God for you. We need constant infilling. So I pray, and join me in praying, that all of us will be filled even more with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to do what God is calling us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray you'll be filled and filled to overflow with the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know what? If you are not filled to the brim, you can't bless other people. Because Holy Spirit is supernatural. It fills you completely. And then if you ask for more, it fills you some more. And out of what is left over is what you bless others with. You need to be fully filled yourself. So I pray for you, if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit already, that God will fill you to overflow in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's go to the scriptures. As I said, I'm talking about Ephesians today. And I just want to give a bit of context to the chapter we're going to read. Because as you know, we've been dealing with the book of Ephesians over the past few weeks. So this is a book written by Apostle Paul, believed to be written largely by Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, and to the church in all of Asia, and to the church in all of today's churches. The book of Ephesians, of course, used the language of prayer and meditation. And that's why I thought that's what we should do today as well. And from when we started, I'll just give you a breakdown of what we've done in case you are a visitor or you need to go back and listen to the messages. But three key principles we've learned is that we have one God and Father of all who intended to create unity in the universe through Christ. God's all intention from all time is to bring people together and to bring the universe together under one person. And that person is Christ. So that plan is centered on Christ through the gospel, which you have heard again. It's very simple. He came, died for you, gives you eternal life, enables you to live and obey God right now in this world, but also empowers you to live forever with the family of God. So through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the gospel. And the plan is God's plan all along, but it was never fully revealed to people in the past. So Abraham, David, Daniel, all those people in the Bible, they saw a glimpse of it. But they didn't get the full picture. We got more picture now. I don't think we get the full picture as well. But we got enough to know that the plan is centered around Jesus. The mystery is now being revealed to us. That God wants to do something. He wants us all to be one family. And that plan, we still learned last week, is being realized through the church, through you and me. Not this building, as Pastor reminded us last week. The building can go, but the church, in our churches in the homes, in our, all the churches around the world, the fellowship, the belongingness, the being together, God wants to form us into a living temple for God. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connects all of us together as a body of Christ. And God wants to display this. You see what? You know what? God wants to use you to tell the powers and the principalities that I still have people that will obey me, people that will follow me, no matter what's happened to them. So that's why he wants in Ephesians 3:10, he said, this is to be displayed and made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Of course, you will shine for people, with people around you, people that don't know God. They will see God through you if you obey God. But much more importantly, spiritual beings, they will see that God can use you and me and all of us together to do fantastic things in this world. And that's what the passage of Ephesians up to chapter 3 that we've been talking about. So I would like to read the main text for today. And it's a prayer. And it's from Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14 to 21. Thank God. God is doing miracles because I struggle to read this Bible at home. Maybe it's the lighting, but I can see it clearly now. I brought my glasses just in case, but I don't need it. I don't think so. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the passage we are dealing with. I mean, we could break it down and deal with it for weeks, that passage, but we don't have the time. And that's why I said we are only going to do prayer mode, okay, to listen to this, to the voice of God as we study this passage. Now, just make a few points. He says, for this reason, at the beginning, what is the reason that the Apostle Paul is praying this prayer for me and for you today? Okay. The reason comes, you have to go back. You know, something, he's talked about something before at the beginning of chapter 3, and you need to go back to that before you know for what reason the Apostle Paul is praying this prayer. And if you go back up, chapter 3, verse 6, he said, this mystery is that through the gospel of the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together of the promise in Jesus Christ. And again, I read verse 10 of chapter 3. Say, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Apostle Paul is praying for us, and I'm praying along with you today, that we will be able to be strengthened in our inner being. For the reason that God wants to use us to show the powers what he can do in sinful human beings. Let me put it that way. Because we've all come short of the glory of God. But he loved us and he still wants to use us to show the principalities what he can do with this universe and with us as kings and queens in the new earth and the new heaven. But we're going to have to do some of it now, even though the world is sinful and sick. But God is going to use us to show his power. So we need to be strengthened in our inner being, to be able to not look at the circumstances around us, what we are struggling with, and to be able to proclaim the gospel, to be able to help others, even though we ourselves are struggling with whatever we are dealing with. God wants to do that. And that's why he prays this prayer, that out of his glorious riches, that's chapter verse 16, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So God has so many things that he can give us. And this strength that we are praying about today is just one of them. Read that again. Say, out of his glorious riches, God has so many things for us. This is just one of it that we are asking for today, that he may strengthen us. And then you continue. I talked about for this reason at the beginning, but then Apostle Paul continued. He said, when God is strengthening us in our inner being, look at what we'll be able to do. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Okay. Because when we are struggling, when we are facing issues that is recurring, that we can't get out of it, we tend to focus too much on that problem. And this passage is encouraging you and encouraging me. Don't look at the storm. Look at the creator of the storm. Look at the one who has power to deliver you from that storm. And that's the strength we need. The strength we need is to focus on Christ, to feel the love of Christ, so that Christ will still dwell in us, no matter what we are going through right now as an individual. So once you are established and rooted in the love of Christ, God will give us power. And this power is not just ordinary power that the president will have. And I want to tell you about that power a little bit. I go back again to Ephesians 1, and it describes that power from verse 19 of Ephesians 1. And it said, and it's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. What? God wants to strengthen you to have power. And that power is the same power that raised a dead Christ and lifted him up to the heavenly realm. And that's what we will feel when we have that power. Nothing can touch us in this world. No circumstances can shake us in this world. You know what? Because we are sat with Christ in the heavenly realm. Our body might still be trapped here on this earth, but our spiritual being is with Christ. That is the prayer we're praying this morning, that God will give us that power in the mighty name of Jesus. And once we have that power, we will know the love of Christ. And it says, together with all the Lord's people. Because, and I read verse 19 of chapter 3. And it said, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. because our body is trapped here and the world is sinful and we have learned so many things in our flesh. Unfortunately, we cannot attain the fullness of Christ ourselves. Nobody can. But together, as a church, as the body of Christ, we can. Praise God. Together, we can attain the fullness of Christ. Together, we can pray for the dead. They will come to life. Whatever Jesus did on earth, together we can do it. So that is the hope we have. Because we can, no individual can attain that level of understanding, of knowledge of God. But God has given us each a deposit of His Holy Spirit. So that together, we can know the love of Christ that will be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I'll be talking more about how we can help each other later. But that is the message, really. That is the message. It's about looking for strength, and I'm going to talk about some practical application of how to do it. But as we've just read that passage, I want to pray for you and pray for myself that today, that out of His glorious riches, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that Christ might dwell in your heart through faith, that whatever you are going through right now, that faith will arise in you by the Holy Spirit within you, and that you will be lifted to the heavenly realm, to be sat with Christ in the heavenly realm, that you will have deliverance. Do you have, you overcome that problem, that chains of oppression will be broken, of sin will be broken in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for all of us in the churches, in the homes, that together we will all commit to know the power of Christ, so that we can show the principalities and peoples around us who do not know God, we can show them the power of God to the glory and honor of His holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. It's very exciting. I mean, it takes a lot to stay in the Word of God. So let's have a reprieve. I want to tell you a joke. It's not a joke, actually. It's going to lead us to the practical application. So I have an analogy for you. And it's something that happened to me about 2 weeks ago. We decided, myself and my wife, to do something, go away for a day. We don't do that often. But we spent a lot, some money. I don't want to say a lot of money. And after the trip, she was asking me, was it all worth it, the money? She knows I care about money a lot. And I said, yes, it was worth it, for all the good reasons that I told her. But I never told her about this analogy. I wanted to surprise her. So we went on this trip, and it's a spa treat, whatever they call it. I've never done it before. I've never been in a sauna before. Sorry, baby. So I went to this sauna, and I came out. She asked me, how was it? I said, it makes me think about hellfire. Seriously, I don't know how people can sit. That is not even the analogy. That's the joke part. But God taught me a lesson during that trip. And the lesson was that I did not realize that I could not swim. I thought I could swim. I've been taking my son swimming for 3 years. I couldn't swim. And the reason was because I couldn't float in water. And I realized in that trip that you need to be able to float in water to be able to swim. And I've been reflecting on this since then. I didn't tell my wife. But it makes me think back. How did I think I learned swimming? I was born in a town where at that stage, I didn't think there was any swimming pool around in the world. Anyway, where I lived. So when we go swimming, we go to a river or we go to a dam. And we go as young children. And we might go with a hook to try and fish or whatever. But we'll get into the water. And then people that can swim, they'll go to the deep end. They'll be doing. People that can't swim will stay close to the edge. But we learn to swim in the fact that people who can swim, they will come underneath the water. They will pull your feet down. And then you are drowning. You are drinking the dirty water. And what you need to do is to escape. And that's how I learned to swim. So people pull my feet, I go under, I swim. I don't know, I just throw my hand and my feet, and then I get out of the water. That's how I learned to swim. And then when I get more confident, I can do it to other people. I could go under, I could pull people's feet. They learn to swim. That was how we learned to swim. And then we came to this world, this Western world, where there's swimming pool and heated and clear water. And I continued to swim that way for many years. But then when it was one-to-one, I realized I couldn't swim. And I reflected on that. Why couldn't I float? And my wife gave me the clue. She said, you couldn't release something within you. Something there is still tight that you are holding on. And because you couldn't release it, I said, for you to be able to float in water, you need to be in sync with the water. You need to know that human beings are made to float on water. If you release yourself, if you position your head properly, position your tummy properly, you will just float. You don't have to struggle. All my swimming has been a struggle. And she tried to teach me within 2 hours, I still don't know how to do it. I might have to enroll myself in swimming lesson. But that is the physical look of it. It makes me reflect. I was thinking, is this how I deal with God? Is there something within me that I'm not letting go when God wants to use me for something? Is there something in my inner being that is tight that I've not released to God? I need to think about that and release it to God. The analogy is this. And that is what we're going to do in practical application. You can only ride the storm if you are in sync with the maker and the controller of the storm. And that is Jesus, in case you don't know it. There's nothing that happens to you that Jesus does not know about. Whether you caused it yourself, whether the enemy put it on you, whether God put it on you. And we pray today, God closes door, God opens door. It doesn't matter. God is aware of everything. And you can only survive if you are able to be at sync, in sync with God, your maker, the maker of everything around you. That's the analogy that I want us to look at as we quickly look at the practical applications of what we've learned today. God can strengthen you no matter what's going on. You can be joyful and peaceful and happy no matter what is going on. But you need to know that you are in sync with that God. So I call my practical applications part 1 and part 2. Part 1, they're all close. The part 1, I have like 5 points. I'm just going to list them very quickly. But they're all similar. You could put them together as one thing. So part A, I say seek strength in God's presence. Devote time to prayer, both corporately and individually. Make God's time the most important time in your life. Jesus Christ, who himself was God on earth, spent time to pray. All night, overnight, When he's done big miracles, he goes and pray along with God. What about us? We can only get that strength if we stay in God's presence. Number two, fix your eyes on Jesus. If you are praying, don't just be praying for yourself or things that don't matter. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 said that fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We need to all look unto Christ, because he's our high priest, he's our intercessor, he's our mediator, he's our advocate. Keep your eyes on Jesus all the time, even while you are in the presence of God. Number three, seek constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've already prayed about it today. Jesus is right now sat on the right hand of the throne of God. He's doing all of these things for you, interceding for you, begging God to do things for you, but you might not feel it if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you. Because the distance from heaven to heart is long, my brothers and sisters. We might not be able to reach it. And it's only with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can see Jesus the way he is right now in the heavenly realms. So pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Study and meditate on the Word of God. When you are in the presence of God, study the Word of God. I read a couple of passages where God gave people, some prophet, to eat the scroll, eat something. And I marvel at how they describe what they were doing. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 3, he said, "It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." And when you go to Revelation in John 10:8, he said, "It tasted as sweet as honey in his mouth and turned his stomach sour." I feel when you study, when you embed yourself in the Word of God, it will taste sweet to you. I'm reading Leviticus right now, and I can't believe that I'm enjoying it. But I'm enjoying it. It tastes sweet in my mouth. Let's do the same. It will taste sour in your stomach because it will convict you of sin. It will convict you of sin around you in the world. But you will have the joy of spending time studying the Word of God. And number five, surrender to God as Jesus surrendered to the Father. You know the story, it's encapsulated when you read the story in Gethsemane, as Jesus was sweating blood because of the weight of our sin on his body, and it was really tough. But Jesus prayed. He said, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." What is the struggle that you are carrying right now that you cannot live with? You need to come to the realization of surrender to say, "God, I'm begging you, take this away from me. I can't cope anymore. I'm struggling." But if God doesn't take it, you have to say, "God, if that is your will, I will still serve you. I will still love you. I will still obey you." So that's part A. Spend time in God's presence. Focus on Jesus. Ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Study the Word of God. And then surrender to God. And I go too quickly to part two. Please, the worship team, if you start to come up. That's a song we'll finish with, so I need to wrap up quickly. So part two of that is to the action. I said, first part of that is to stand up and rejoice. You know, when you are in your trouble, when things are tough, after you spent enough time in God's presence, you will be able to stand up and rejoice. So I say, get up and rejoice. James 1, 2 to 3 says, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Romans 5, 3 to 4 said, "We also rejoice in our suffering, because we know suffering provides perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Still on part two, go and help others Whatever God is taking you through right now, He wants to use your experience to set other people free. Get up. Stop complaining. Rejoice. Go and help others with what you are struggling with. God has empowered you to be able to help others. And then for yourself, obey what He tells you to do. And strangely, it might not be what you are expecting. There was a time I was complaining. Well, I was praying to God. I said, I've got so much to do. And then God said, go and do this. Add something more for me. I said, but I prayed about it. And then I realized that actually, if I do what God was asking me to do, all my problems will be solved. We might not see it sometimes. We just have to trust God and obey Him, whatever He asks you to do. And I'm going to finish my part by praying for you again. And I'm still praying from the book of Ephesians. And I'm praying from chapter 1, from verse 17 to 22. And I pray this for you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Thank you, Father. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.